Okay, so for today's edition of the Flipcast, we are with Pav Sharma, who is the managing legal engineer at Pinson Mason. Welcome, Pav. Woo! So, Pav, managing legal engineer, that sounds a bit like a mouthful. Tell us a little bit more about the work that you do at Pinson Mason and what the heck is a legal engineer?
Okay, thank you for the introduction, first of all. Let me begin with 3 points on what most legal engineers do. We design, we manage projects, and we solve problems. I think most legal engineers across the world will agree that their daily tasks will involve at least one of them, if not all of those points that I've just mentioned. Mm. I think where we differ is mostly around the technology available to us, because depending on which law firm you work for or tech company you work for, you may have different requirements and so a different technology toolkit available. At Pinson Mason's, for example, we have a mixture of our own proprietary technology and also some popular legal technology that's available to most law firms today. This enables our legal engineers to then work with our lawyers to design solutions first. When it comes to then configuring this technology for different legal processes, we're able to work closely with our legal technology team to enhance what we have or develop new features as required.
Mm. So when and how did Pinson Mason create a team of legal engineers? And more importantly, why?
Why? Really good question. So I think we can go as far back as 2010, when we had a team of document automation specialists. We rapidly gained some massive achievements in the document automation scene. And soon enough, we were pushing the limits on what we could do. I mean, we've automated at least 2,000 precedents now.
Wow.
During this time, the firm also developed our own legal process mapping technology, because we felt on one hand, we can automate our precedents, but on the other hand, we need to provide a good solution for our lawyers to work off. And this could be in the form of a checklist or a workflow, just giving the information to the lawyer at the right time in the right place. So we identified some synergies between the skills of a document automation specialist and those required of an individual to configure our technology for different processes. These included the ability to gather requirements efficiently, solve problems, apply design thinking, coding, and presenting as well. So from that point, the document automation team expanded and became the legal engineering team, where most of our work involves modifying and configuring our platform and automating documents as well.
So Pav, you mentioned design thinking. Do you have some illustrations or some examples on how you use design thinking at the firm?
Of course. So we probably haven't labeled it as design thinking as such since we've had the legal engineering team. But what we've been able to do using the technology available to us is rapidly create prototypes. So this is a legal engineer sitting with the lawyers, taking the requirements. And before we actually invest a lot of time in developing a tool, we spend some time creating a prototype to then demo to the lawyers that we work with, or even external clients that we are working with as well. Based on that prototype, if everybody's in agreement, we take it forward. We often have feedback to change some of the features that we've built in this prototype, and that's when we go back to our technology teams to then develop further. Recently, I've created a prototype to illustrate KPIs around our performance for the benefits of our clients. The good thing about this was we didn't need to invest a lot of time to create a fully working system. We were able to create a working illustration, if you like, to demonstrate what we are about to create. Mm-hmm. And another example is the work we've done around adjudication. So we've mapped out the entire adjudication process in UK and Singapore. This is interesting because we've identified areas where essential documents can be automated in a process which is otherwise described as non-automatable. Not sure if that's a word.
We'll run with it.
But I think design thinking very much was at the core of this project, because first we had to demonstrate that it can be done. Okay, so we needed to demonstrate to the lawyers that we're working with what the end product would look like. And that's exactly what we did. We mapped out the process of adjudications. We mapped out the adjudication process and then presented that to the lawyers that we work with to say, hey guys, this is what we found and this is what we can put into our system. Then we worked with our lawyers to create this. And this wasn't a case of an IT team going off and creating something. This was a tool that's been created with the involvement of a lawyer. And quite often the feedback we would receive or request to change would be like, hey Pav, would you mind rewording this question, or would you add more options to this particular question, or can you change this from a radio single select option to a multi-select checkbox? And these are design thinking elements, because it's helping the user use a system in the most effective way possible using the technology that we have.
Okay, great. So Pav, what is your driver for innovation?
I think my own driver, and also probably a driver for many law firms out there, is a client demand. So clients are expecting us to work in an innovative way or use a technology that's readily available to do the work. And I was thinking about this the other day. It's similar to when a taxi driver asks you for directions. Nowadays, you just sit wondering why the taxi driver isn't using a readily available navigation system. Everybody has it on their phones. It's especially difficult for me, someone new to Singapore, not knowing where I'm going myself. So by the end of it, I'm lost, the taxi driver's lost, but I get the bigger bill when it's on the meter. In a similar way, clients are wondering why law firms are not using readily available technology or ways of working, which would ultimately help both the client and the law firm.
So can you tell us about one really exciting project that you've created as a legal engineer?
Sure, there's one great project that the whole legal engineering team has invested a lot of time on, and that's using our own matter management platform. Here we've process mapped the entire employment tribunal process in the UK. What this allows us to do as legal engineers is to take any legal process and map that out and integrate it into this one platform. One really good one, for example, is what we've done with employment tribunal work. And this is a type of work which is sort of low value but high volume. It would otherwise normally take up a lot of expensive time of a lot of expensive lawyers' time at Pinsent Masons, and it would be of smaller value for the client. So by using matter management, we're able to delegate this work to more junior teams. In fact, we've got a whole paralegal team in UK who are able to use this platform, and it will guide them through the whole employment tribunal process. It will tell them what they need to do, it will generate their documents, and it will also gather that data. So at the end of the year, we can present that data to our clients and say, hey guys, you've got problem areas in this area of your business. We should look at providing training here so we can reduce the number of employment claims.
Great. So you're reducing significantly the needs of a lawyer and able to leverage paralegals and,
exactly.
The automated kind of process.
And of course, the paralegals will still be supervised by the senior lawyers. This platform enables that supervision to be done in more of an effective way, because as they progress through the employment tribunal case, they are notifying the senior lawyers of where they are at. And depending on the complexity of the employment tribunal case, they can seek further advice and help from the lawyers as required.
Brilliant. There's a lot of law firms who have, you know, over the last year or so started to get legal engineers, legal technology teams, and, you know, different firms call them differently, but the idea is really around supporting the work of lawyers. How, and based on the examples that you've shared with us, it seems that there is a really great engagement between your team of legal engineers and the lawyers and the paralegals and all the business teams and et cetera. Like, what's the secret sauce? You know, why do you think that is, and why is there such a great engagement? And it's not just a team of legal engineers in a corner, you know, maybe designing something that is going to be great. We don't really know if something great comes out. brilliant. If not, we'll just let them experiment in their corner. But what you've described is not that. So what do you think is that secret sauce?
So I think the secret sauce is building a dynamic team. And most legal engineering teams that I've seen are dynamic. That's both inside and outside of Pinsent Masons. Our team in particular is made up of project managers, coders, former lawyers, and even legal secretaries. So that helps us to speak the language of lawyers. That also helps us to speak the language of IT professionals within the firm. And having that sort of middle ground, we're able to touch all corners and use it to our advantage when needed.
What do you think are the characteristics of a great legal engineer?
I think first and foremost is someone who is confident. It takes a lot to sit in front of a team of very senior lawyers and tell them that your new tool is going to make their job more efficient or make them be better at their job, first of all. So I think it takes a degree of confidence, and that comes with time. I think also having a passion for technology is very helpful, because if you're not passionate about the technology, you will struggle to sell that technology to others. And I think thirdly, and my final point probably would be someone who's interested in solving problems. A lot of the work we do is all about creating a solution to a problem that's out there right now.
How do you envision the future of the legal sector to be? That's crystal balling.
Yeah. So naturally, as a legal engineer, I would say that technology would be at the heart of everything that lawyers do. But to give a bigger answer, what I would say is that it will be more diverse. So the traditional lawyer image, and whatever that is, will cease to exist, first of all. I think it will be more affordable for our clients. And then the elephant in the room, in relation to the lawyers' jobs being at risk, I actually disagree, and I think technology won't take work from lawyers. In fact, despite it being more affordable and despite words like automation being thrown around, I think it will enable lawyers to do more for clients for less time, and also find new solutions for new problems in the future.
Are there any risks in embracing new technology? And if so, what are some of the risks?
Sure. So I can think of two. And one would be information security issues, and also failure, or the fear of failure can be considered a risk. So firstly, I'm not an expert on information security, but I think information security is certainly a major perceived risk that prevents some law firms from embracing new technology, especially around cloud-based technology. What I would say to that is, look, the traditional way of keeping a server in your office with all that data stored on it is probably your biggest risk right now. The moment it's plugged into the internet, it's a risk. The moment individuals are able to physically enter the server room, it's a risk. So embracing new technology, especially ones which can help you effectively and more efficiently manage data, is a no-brainer right now. Second is failure. There'll be problems in the process of embracing new technology. It may not work, or by the time you have it up and running, there may be something better out there, or you may struggle to find the right individuals to operate this technology. And that's a real risk, because some of the tech available out there, it isn't cheap, and there's a massive investment. Personally, and in my own experience, it reminds me of a quote that's attributed to Swami Vivekananda. And it's, take risks in your life. If you win, you can lead. If you fail, you can guide. And that's essentially it. A lot of this work is around trial and error. And what you learn from these exercises in experimenting with technology will always help you on the next project that you will be working on.
It's a great quote. We used to say fail fast, fail often, but now it's fail fast, iterate often. That's and so right. It's this idea of building on not your failures or so to, as you said, just kind of get to the next iteration better. Okay, so all of this sounds great. And I know that you guys are really, really client focused, and that all of this is designed to help your lawyers do their work better, so they ultimately benefits your clients. What has been the response of your clients? Do they see those efforts? Do you collaborate with them on some projects? What has been the engagement with your clients?
Definitely. And I would say whenever we have created a solution for our client to directly access, there's been a degree of collaboration with that client.
Mm.
And we've moved from communicating with the client via lawyers at Pinsent Masons to now legal engineers communicating directly with the client team to customize and build a solution which will suit them and also suit Pinsent Masons as well.
So, Pav, you come from Birmingham, from the UK, but Singapore over the last year or so has adopted you with open arms. So you've had the opportunity to see kind of the two legal tech ecosystems. Where do you think the Singapore legal ecosystem is?
Well, I think it's a great place to be with encouragement to work in an innovative way and to use technology is coming from the top. We don't often see that elsewhere. And I think an outcome of this will be a whole industry springboarded into the future while reaping the lessons learned from the legal industry outside of Singapore. So I think it's an exciting time for all law firms of all sizes in Singapore right now. Whenever I go back to England, everyone is always talking about one flip event or another that they've seen on LinkedIn.
Yay! So the flip events are known. People know who we are. That's fantastic.
Definitely, yeah. People are often asking me, hey, Pav, when you were in Singapore, did you come across flip? And yeah, so I think it's really good in that sense.
So one final question, Pav. What would your advice be for any budding legal engineer out there, maybe, you know, young law students or techies or anyone who might be really interested by this idea of legal engineering and collaboration and problem solving and technology in the legal world? You know, how do they get started?
Sure. So I think in my own experience, probably one of the last modules I did in university as part of my law degree, my final year, was a module called Lawyers in Society. And essentially, our lecturer told us that this profession that you studied for is at risk. So I found that to be quite strange for it to be the last module.
It's a lovely message on your last module.
So as part of that module, we were taught very briefly about how alternative legal service providers are out there and the type of work that they can now do, how the role of a lawyer is changing and so on. So what I would say for a budding legal engineer is to first find out the state of the industry right now and the direction which it's going into. I was grateful I had a chance to study that module at university because it sparked my interest on what can be done and what is available. And from that point onwards, I learned about the various technologies available, the new ways of working, and that has really helped me in my role today, 6 years later. I would encourage collaboration between other legal engineers. So one way we work at Pinsent Masons is if you are struggling with something, rather than going straight to a user guide or manual, we much prefer picking the phone up and speaking to one of our colleagues and say, hey, I'm trying to create this system or I'm trying to code a solution to this problem. Any idea how this can be done? And we really adopted this way of working from the IT world, where you have computer programmers often putting the question out there and finding people who are willing to give them support. I think that's a really good way to learn as a legal engineer, rather than referring to user guides which may not cover your bespoke scenario. And I think that's really helpful.
Pav, thank you so, so much for this chat. It's been absolutely brilliant. And if there are any budding legal engineer or any legal engineer out there, we will be organizing, so throughout the year, we will be organizing regular legal engineer meetups. We've been working with Pav and the team at Pinsent Mason to make this happen. These will be super casual, you know, open mic and networking sessions to discuss anything and everything related to legal engineering. So maybe keep an eye on the Flip website. We will be posting posting this very, very soon. Pav, thank you so much for a great conversation. It's been brilliant to have you.